Here's another slogan you run into all the time. God bless America. Once again, respectfully, I say to myself, what the fuck does that mean? God bless America? Is that a request? Is that a demand? Is that a suggestion? Politicians say it at the end of every speech, as if it were some sort of verbal tick that they can't get rid of. God bless you and God bless America. God bless you and God bless America. I guess they figure if they leave it out, someone's going to think they're bad Americans. Let me tell you a little secret about God, folks. God does not give a flying fuck about America, okay? He doesn't care. He never cared about this country. He never has. He never will. He doesn't care about this country any more than he cares about Mongolia, Transylvania, Pittsburgh, the Suez Canal, or the North Pole. He simply doesn't care, okay? He doesn't care. Listen. Look, there are 200 countries in the world now. Do these people honestly think that God is sitting around picking out his favorite? Why would he do that? Why would God have a favorite country? And why would it be America out of all the countries? Because we have the most money? Because he likes our national anthem? Maybe it's because he heard we have 18 delicious flavors of classic Rice-A-Roni. It's delusional thinking. It's delusional thinking. And Americans are not alone with these sort of delusions. Military cemeteries around the world are packed with brainwashed, dead soldiers who are convinced God was on their side. America prays for God to destroy our enemies. Our enemies pray for God to destroy us. Somebody's going to be disappointed. Somebody's wasting their fucking time. Could it be everyone? Now. If people want to say God bless America, that's their business, I don't care, but here's what I don't understand. If they say God bless America, presumably they believe in God. And if they do, they must have heard God loved everyone. That's what he said. He loved everyone and he loved them equally. So why would these people ask God to do something that went against his own teachings? You know what these God bless America people ought to do? They ought to check with that Jesus fellow they're so crazy about. They're always talking about what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? They don't want to know so they can do it. They just want to know so they can tell other people to do it. Well, I'll tell you what Jesus would have done. I'll tell you what Jesus would have done. He would have got up on the top of the Empire State Building and said, God bless everyone around the world forever and ever till the end of time. That's what Jesus would have done, and that's what these people should do, or else they should admit that God bless America is really just some sort of an empty slogan with no real meaning except for something vague like, good luck. Good luck, America. You're on your own. Which is a little bit closer to the truth. It's all bullshit, folks.
White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. This is him, Terrible Tommy, here in the bunker right here in north central Indiana on a foggy day. It's really like London out here. It's you can't see hardly anything. They closed up all the schools, so the little kids are going to get even stupider than they are now. I can't believe it's December 7th already. Somebody's got this clock of mine on warp speed, man. I'll tell you, it's something else. 7th of December. Won't be long till we get past Christmas. And if we would celebrate it as a pagan holiday, I'd love it, you know, but that was gone long ago. There's a few things, trappings around that can remind you of pagan times. Of course, the next holiday for me is on the 21st, the spring equinox, and that is, they got that all mixed up with the Jesus and all that stuff, so the people got that really screwed up. And then they went from there over to, what did they go over to? They changed what they thought was Christ's birth over to the 25th. One of the emperors, I believe, did that. Well, it's ridiculous because it all has to do with the zodiac and the sun and all that stuff. Got nothing to do with a man. Nothing at all to do with a man.
Now.
Well, thank you, boys and girls, for getting your... get my microphone over here. For getting your donations for the show in. A lot of you have, and we appreciate that. Going down there at the post office today and get some money orders for the POWs, okay? So hopefully they'll get that stuff before Christmas, or at least before New Year's, so anyhow. And let's see, then go up to resist.com and read what the news is. However, I've decided to send the news items out to you directly, and then if you want to go up and read the crawl on resist.com, you can. But sometimes people don't have time to sit and read the crawl. So I'll send them to you, these good stories, and I'm not sending them to you for my health. These are usually good stories of what's going on and not what the bullshit news is telling you is going on, you know? It's too much. I mean, over the weekend, of course, I'd get a little news here, a little news there. It's insane. It's insane. In fact, I want to go up and get something and play it for you. This was recorded on a black radio station. And if you understand the insanity of the situation, you'll understand this thing. It's these black guys and I think maybe a Jew on there on this liberal show or progressive show, and they're talking about Alex Jones. And both sides are insane. So I want you to listen about 5-6 minutes of this, and you'll see what I mean about insanity. Now, to set this up, it's these black guys. I don't know, maybe one of them's a kike, I don't know. And they're talking about this terrorist attack out in California. I mean, they've been arguing about this terrorist shit for a week. I mean, it's totally crazy. You know, why call it anything? Call it, they murdered the people. They shot them. They bombed them, whatever. I mean, they're dead. I mean, no, it's terrorists. No, it's not terrorists. No. Anyhow, and then they're interspacing this with clips from Alex Jones, another crazy man. So anyhow, I'm going to play this for you.
So they've covered up the Marine Corps Center's attacks, the Fort Hood attacks, said that wasn't terrorism. How many more of our own Paris's are we going to have that they're going to cover up?
I mean, the interesting thing about yesterday is that social media knew the name of this guy, Saeed Farooq. The whole day, everyone knew that this is who the guy was. Mainstream media didn't even release it last night until about 11:30 p.m. our time over here, because the whole time they were scared to say the name because they thought it would offend somebody. And immediately after releasing this guy's name, then they bring in this whole Muslim group to speak on Fox and CNN, and, you know, they condemn everything, blah, blah, blah. But I guarantee you, if that was a white guy, they would have been all over that. That would have been terrorism from the get-go. And they would have started condemning white people and saying that Christians are out to kill everybody, and we're the actual radicals. We got to take the guns away. I mean, we talked about the government taking the guns away, but they were in full force last night, Alex. I was watching between CNN and Fox and MSNBC in my hotel room. I heard each single channel say that we should take guns away from law-abiding citizens, and then we should destroy all the guns and try to start over again.
You know, this guy with Alex Jones saying that they would have said whites, if people had been white, they would have been called terrorists immediately. That's like the guy was on social media the other day protesting the Wiz coming on TV tonight. He said, if there was a Wizard of Oz that was all white, you all wouldn't stand it. This is reverse racism. Yeah, there was a Wizard of Oz. Where have you been? When has any white guy ever been called a terrorist? That's the problem. Now, the fact of the matter is, we still don't have all the information we need to really know what happened and to make sense out of this. But I'm going to say this, and as I've said to my guests on countless times, we should have, that was Alex Jones' show, by the way, we should have our own conspiracy site of our own. Because, see, the problem with Alex Jones is there are conspiracies. He just makes it hard to have real rational conspiracies anymore because his is so crazy. He's put a bad name on conspiracies. But if we had Daily Conspiracy, maybe we could do our own thing. The original report is reminding me. Remember the D.C. sniper? They said they were looking for a white male, turned out to be a black male. The original report from San Bernardino yesterday was that they were looking for three white males. That was the original report. That came from KTLA, a tweet from there. The police put that out there. But, of course, now things have changed. Another tragedy. People are saying thoughts and prayers don't change anything. I agree, although I still believe in thinking and praying. But I believe you have to pray with your feet. Something must be done about gun violence in America. Joining me now, the founder, publisher, and editor-in-chief, as always, he joins us every Thursday. So thankful to have him. It's very meaningful to have him as really the mayor of the largest online progressive community there is. He is Marcos Melitzis of Daily Coast here for Thursday Coast. Marcos, how are you, man?
Doing great, Mark. Glad to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. First of all, your reactions to this continually unfolding drama in San Bernardino. Now, you're in Oakland, of course. You're not that close, but close enough.
Yeah, no. Same time zone, maybe. Same state. Obviously, it's just frustrated. I'm just frustrated that we have to deal with this on literally a daily basis. And I got to say, I don't care if the shooters are white or if they're Muslim or Hispanic or Latino, right? It's terrorism. What we're seeing, this gun epidemic at this point, is terrorism. And I wish Republicans would treat this epidemic with the same kind of urgency and hysteria, even, as they're dealing with the handful of Islamic terrorist attacks in this country, pure Islamic terrorist attacks. So it kind of made me funny because, we were talking about this being terrorism when we thought it was three white people, when it turns out that they were Muslim, or at least had Muslim names. Suddenly, Republicans were outraged. Before, it didn't matter, but now,
and
they're acting like liberals are being two-faced about it, but nothing has changed in my position on the issue.
No.
Those people having guns. I mean, right now, it is so bad in this country that the NRA is blocking legislation that would ban gun sales to people on the terrorist watch list. That's how pathetic the GOP's kowtowing to the NRA has become, that we can't even keep suspected terrorists from buying high-caliber weaponry. And to me, I'm all about, at this point, the Australian model, which was literally take guns, people's guns away, and the number of gun-related deaths has plummeted to almost zero. And you have countries like the United Kingdom that have also severely restrict gun ownership, and also you see very little gun violence. And when you have, in the last decade, we've had 250,000 people killed by gun violence. 250,000.
Yeah.
250,000. That is far more than any terrorist has managed to accomplish. And the idea that we need to worry about Islamic terrorism that might theoretically happen if you let some Syrian refugees in. Syrian refugees, by the way, are fleeing terrorism, real terrorism.
Right. So, if they want to, if you're in Syria, you want to be down with terrorism, you don't have to leave Syria. You can just get down with ISIS. Why come over here? What's the point of coming over here? You know?
It's frustrating. It makes me angry. And then, the idea, it's a farce at this point. Thoughts and prayers. You know, thoughts and prayers aren't bringing those victims back. Those thoughts and prayers aren't preventing the next attack. I read a piece today. I forget where I read it. And it was a guy.
People on both sides of this thing are going to argue about this and debate all night long because they know that's the only thing they got to do. The guy, at least he said white people. The guy was with Alex Jones, You rarely hear anything about white people on Alex Jones' show. But both sides are, what are you going to do? They're nuts. Why don't we just call people criminals, go back to basics? If somebody, and even that is subjective to thinking it over. I mean, are they really criminals? But let's say they happen to be criminals, let's just say these people were criminals and they shot a bunch of people. And the other thing that pisses me off is mass killings. Three people get killed someplace and it's mass killings. So they argue over the terms. They argue like hell over the terms. It's ridiculous. Anyhow, we're trying to get through this. I just had to call You know, I had, there's a guy called Mike Church. He's got a conservative right-wing show down in Mandeville, Louisiana, which should have made me suspicious, because that's right next to David Duke's house, place of business down there. Anyhow, I wanted to see what he said about a couple of things, and I subscribed, you know, just for a week or so, which was $6.99, and anyhow, to his show. And he got it on my credit card, and it's been on there for 6 months, and I'm having to fight the bastard to get it off there. So finally had to cancel that credit card, you know. But that's typical of these right-wing conservatives. We love God. He's always praying and all that kind of stuff. That's the kind of people they are. Maybe Duke's using that as a Mike Church as a phony name. Yeah. Out of Black Hat Studios, so-called. And so evidently they're supposed to have one of those places down there in Mandeville, Louisiana. But they have a phone number on. I've called them 10, 15 times. And they answer and take a message, but no one ever calls back. So that's these wonderful, God-loving, Christian, right-wing people screwing everybody they can. In the name of baby Jesus, of course. One thing you might not know is that on a credit card, a debit card, at least with my bank, you can't refute it as a debit card, a charge. If it's a charge card, if it's a charge, then you can refute it and get it bumped off. So you might want to remember that. Don't ever subscribe to anything on the internet using a debit card. That's right. So the alternative is you just dump that card and get another card. Saves a lot of hassle. Saves a lot of hassle. But if you're going to subscribe to something on the internet, use a charge card. Well, France is going to hold its first election since the Paris attacks. Isn't that wonderful? I'm already getting emails from guys that are they're in love with this Le Pen bunch. And I told them years ago that that's a waste of time. They're typical right-wingers, and they'll do the right-wing thing, but then they'll gradually modify, just like the daughter of the old man has changed. She's changed a lot. She's recruiting Muslims now into her party. And these dumb right-wingers keep saying, oh, what a wonderful Le Pen is. Well, number one, Le Pen's not going to change anything. And she's not going to change anything for the better. And so people get in touch with you about, oh, man, Le Pen's wonderful. Forget it. And I know a lot of times you say, oh, well, that was like George Wallace when we were all supporting him. And then he turned around and knifed us in the back. Well, I see the Muslims have changed, and now they're going from bombing most of the time. They go into shooting and knifing. Knifing is cool. Knife is up close and personal. You'll read about the thuggies over there in India back in the day. They were very effective in crowds. They'd walk in the crowds and just come right up behind you with a slim-bladed knife, and it's all over. And they walk away and hardly ever get caught. So anyhow, looks like the knife wielders have quite a number of victims. It takes longer, but it's pretty sure, and it's cheap. And you get rid of the weapon real easy. If you're fleeing a scene, it's going to be damn hard to get rid of a .45. But a knife or a letter opener or anything like that, it's easy. But you got to watch out, because I knew one guy that got stabbed 7 times, and he lived. Now, one of the reasons was he's a big fat guy, but still, if you don't know where and how, many times you're going to fail. Just stabbing somebody doesn't necessarily mean it's all over. Well, I see France is going to close more than 100 mosques, Islamic mosques. Now, you think that's going to do any good? I don't. Of course not. That's just a token bunch of crap. They're trying to pick out the ones they say where somebody may have said something violent or something like that. They're trying to sneak up on this thing and make the public happy. Ain't going to work because they don't need mosques to pull off these attacks on people with knives or bombs or guns. They don't need any mosque at all. Here's an interesting headline. The ethnicity or race, you know, they don't want to use the term race. You notice that? Race is not around anymore. Everything's ethnicity. The ethnicity of the San Bernardino shooters doesn't matter. Not at all. Even though he was a swarthy, greasy, half-breed bastard. And if you'd see him on the street at night, it'd scare the shit out of you. And if you saw him down or her down an alley, you'd really be scared. You could turn that around and say, well, it matters to them. I mean, you know, if you say the ethnicity of Tom Metzger doesn't make any difference, well, it makes a hell of a lot of difference to me, and I'm sure they might feel the same way. What do you mean I'm not a brown Muslim? What do you mean? You crazy? Boy, here's a piece of the news. I don't know. I've been regretting worrying about this for months. Inside Greece's resurgent anarchist movement. There's nothing more to worry about than a Greek anarchist, I'll tell you that, man. I didn't think anything could get more violent than a Greek, but now it's a Greek anarchist. Wow.
Born in a war-torn Iraq under American occupation, ISIL's toxic blend of military know-how and potent ideology set off to conquer the Middle East. The U.S. had dismantled the Iraqi state, purged its leaders, and disbanded its army. Those ex-Saddam soldiers lost their jobs, but kept their guns. And many of them, bitter, angry, and unemployed, joined forces with self-styled jihadists to go to war.
ISIL is a direct outgrowth of Al-Qaeda in Iraq that grew out of our invasion.
Today, their campaign of terror has redrawn borders, deepened Sunni Shia divisions, and struck targets worldwide. Many blame my guest for Iraq's descent into chaos.
This is not a country in anarchy.
He was chosen by President Bush to rebuild the country.
Thanks for taking this on. I'm proud of you.
But his critics called him a colonial viceroy, a dictator, the man who broke Iraq.
I leave Iraq gladdened by what has been accomplished and confident that your future is full of hope.
I'm Mehdi Hassan, and today I'll go head-to-head with Paul Bremer, appointed by George W. Bush to run the U.S.-led Coalition Provisional Authority in the wake of the Iraq War. I'll be asking him how personally responsible he feels for the birth of ISIL.
You're not going to do it on my show, you dumb bastard, because it's not hard to figure out what happened and what's happening. It keeps on happening. But at the same time, the same time everything's falling apart, we're over there building busts to Dick Cheney and George Bush. These Republican Party people and most of the Democrats, or a lot of Democrats, following them around like puppy dogs. War criminals, flat out war criminals. And there they go. He's going to try to explain his way out of this. There's no explaining your way out of how they created conditions that killed hundreds of thousands, maybe a million people, and thousands of American soldiers who were dumb enough to go over there. Jeez Christ. Yeah, the worst kind of soldier is the kind that think they're a humanitarian. They're going to carry a gun, be trained how to kill, but they're going to go over there and help rebuild the places that they're bombing. I mean, these guys have got to be totally insane. Well, we got a communique from Stray Dog back in New Germany this morning. Hey, TT, an abortion clinic opened here in Trenton, New Germany, a city that is 86% black Negro. Now all of us unemployed white truck drivers can get work hauling all the dead nigger babies away to the dump, or better yet, save on mileage and dump them in the Delaware River. It won't matter now because all the fish have been poisoned from Trenton on down by nigger waste and garbage. I saw a dead nigger baby in the river, but it was only a clump of shit from the poop plant floating downstream. Niggers live along the river. They fish, eat, and sleep along the riverbanks or use bulkheads or terminals for shelter. The niggers poop all around the ground, over the ground, and make no attempt to cover it up. Life is easier near a river, hence the term river nigger. I remember reading that in the old South information. One more point. A nigger will never cross a river as they hate water. Give us an example. I'll give you an example. There are lily white towns just across the river from the black ghetto pestles. All across the country, yet in very few instances will the nigger cross over water to pray. P-R-E-Y. Anyways, happy days again. Dead nigger babies, yeah. Abortion clinics rule. Work for all. The new black oil boom is dead nigger baby abortion clinic truck drivers need what we needed. CDL drivers only, Class A and heavy equipment operators also needed to run the front end loaders to scoop up the dead nigger babies. Okay, that's from New Germany. I concur on that blacks and water, because when I lived there by Camp Pendleton for all those years, of course, many of my friends were active Marines, and many of them were in Force Recon, and I've told this story before, that there never was blacks in Force Recon up until the 70s, and they started forcing them in, but they're scared of water, scared of snakes, scared to wade through the swamps and stuff like that, so they had taken a bunch of them out of the kitchen and mess halls and so forth and put them in force recon, but they had to take them back out because they're afraid of the water and everything. So Stray Dogs got that right on. And that's why I've been encouraging people to invest in abortion mills for a couple of decades now. Yeah, and I'm not going to go against the practice of abortion, not when they're eliminating so many non-whites.
America.org. Almost 15 million Americans live in food insecure homes, meaning they struggle to feed themselves. So it makes perfect sense that over in Vermont, milk producers are dumping out their fresh product into fertilizer pits by the truckload, right? That's really happening. And you know why? You know why? It's because of money. Last year, milk producers saw record prices for their product. They were making $25 for every 100 pounds of milk they made. But this year, they're only making $16 a pound. And that's because they made a lot more milk this year. Also, shipping prices are really high. So financially, milk producers have come to the brilliant conclusion that just dumping out perfectly good milk is better for their bottom lines. So that's what they've been doing. Producers at several dairy farms have so far already dumped out literally hundreds of thousands of gallons of milk. A producer at a company called Co-op Agrimark said that he's never seen this in his 32 years in the business. He said that his company is only dumping skim milk so far, but that the industry is going right into a tailspin. Other producers are trying to figure out how to turn their milk into cheese or other products so that they can still make some money outside of just straight-up milk money. Now, of course, the natural reaction is, what the hell? Why don't they just give the milk away to people who need it? But that's not the way this society works. In this stupid society, the milk producers have spokespeople who provide generic statements about why they're not doing that, telling media outlets that the milk producers are not in a position to provide excess milk to food shelves in a packaging that could accommodate such facilities. And the Vermont Food Bank actually backed that up, saying perishable items like milk are tough for them. They can't handle it since it needs to be refrigerated and distributed before the expiration date. And all of those reasons, or excuses, or however you want to look at it, go back to money. Our society is built around money. So there's.
Well, she mentioned that they're dumping out the whole milk. Well, no, they're dumping out the skim milk. Well, skim milk is the healthiest part of the milk. Having been raised on a farm and with dairy cattle, we used to do this all on the farm with separating machines. And separate the rich milk and then from the skim milk. The skim milk, we stupidly back then fed it to the hogs so the hogs made out pretty good. But anybody knows in the health business that milk is not that good for you anyhow. Now, it's really hard to get. I've got my lady down on skim milk now, and I particularly take this almond milk or vegetable type milk, and it's much better anyhow. It's a little more expensive, but it's I don't think it has any gluten in it and like that, so probably people would be better off not to get milk, especially if they can get something else to replace it, especially vegetable juice, which is the best for you. Now, this same thing happened back in the Depression, yeah, where they were killing thousands and thousands of pigs and dumping milk and setting fire to grain and so forth to keep the prices up. You see, that's what's wrong with that form of capitalism. And with healthy Aryan socialism, you wouldn't have this problem. Not Marxist socialism. There is an Aryan socialism. Odin bless racism. Odin bless racism. How about racism in, where was it? Brazil. Let's hear about it.
Comes from Northwestern University's campus called Virtual Racism, Real Consequences. Targets people who make racist comments online by putting up a giant billboard with their tweet near where they live. But as South America correspondent Lourdes Garcia Navarro explains, it's not the only project tackling racism and the legacy of slavery in Brazil.
The billboards are simple, all white, with the comment written in black bold. One of them, put up in the Brazilian state of Espírito Santo, reads, "I came home stinking like a black person." The name and picture of the person who wrote that on Twitter is blurred out, but the organizers track down where they live, and the placard is in their neighborhood. Those targeted have taken their tweets down.
They call women, mainly women, macaca,
monkey.
They're talking about their hair. They are talking about the color of their skin. They are calling them prostitutes.
That's campaign organizer Yurema Wernecki from activist group Criola. She says their message is simple. There is no real anonymity, and racism in Brazil is illegal. Despite having more black people living here than any country outside Africa, Wernecki says racism in Brazil is actually on the rise. And that's because in the last decade, new laws like affirmative action are changing things.
We are entering the universities. We are entering many different spaces. They are so, so angry because we are putting pressure in their privilege.
Brazil was the last country in the Americas to end slavery. It imported more enslaved people from Africa than any other country, well over 4 million. After slavery ended, there wasn't legal segregation like in the U.S. There was something more insidious. A social apartheid that still exists today. Other groups say that in order for the country to move forward, it first needs to look back.
Esse relatório é relatório parcial.
Marcelo Dias is the president of the Truth Commission on Black Slavery in Rio de Janeiro. He helped co-author a 311-page report released this past week on slavery in Brazil. It calls for the first time on the Brazilian government to apologize for the practice. We've had this struggle in Brazil, he says, because the ruling class always said there was no racism here. They always denied it. How can you fight against something if it doesn't exist, he asks.
Well, who can we thank for all that? All those Negroes in Brazil, thank the white European people, the white European slave trade, and the Jew slave trade, because that's how it got there, and that's how it multiplied into millions of blacks. And now people are beginning to say, well, maybe it's not so good. Hard to keep those capitalistas down, especially when they want to make money. They don't care how it's made. Not at all. Same thing happened here with the capitalistas. They weren't called capitalistas back then that I know of, but they were. And so we have a racial civil war to fight. That's what we have to fight. We have to take care of the problems that are the leaders of the economy and so forth have caused, not only in this decade, but decades long before. And first of all, we have to have the Truth Commission to admit that it's been the upper classes of our race who have caused the problem. Well, I see the staff are organizing to fight racism at Harvard Law School. Well, they better get working, because I spent a lot of time in the L.A. courts. And the attorneys, the white attorneys and Jew attorneys up there, and a significant number of Jew attorneys, were mostly racist as hell. I mean, overtly racist. Well, they did use some code words like Eskimos and stuff like that. When we'd ride on the elevator, they'd use those type of code words. So they're not going to get rid of racism, for Christ's sake. In fact, getting rid of racism is the best way to spread racism, to be perfectly honest, because you bring it to people's attention every day, every hour of the day. And there's nothing that promotes something like keeping repeating the name, repeating the situation. Well, I see there's a political party called the Workers' World Party, candidates Monica Moorhead and Lamont Lilly, running in the 2016 national election for president and vice president, issued the following statement on December 4th regarding the most recent mass shootings in the United States, this time in San Bernardino. As revolutionary socialists committed to the struggle of getting rid of this rotting capitalist system, predatory capitalist system, I might say, we're horrified and saddened at the latest explosion of violence in this country. This time it was a holiday luncheon of San Bernardino County Health Department workers held at a center for the care of people with disabilities. Well, they're saying they're running on the idea that imperialist wars or predatory capitalist wars, corporate wars, breed violence. And of course it does. All over the world, it's being spread all over the world for the hope for more profits. Well, this one's from the South Whidbey Island Record newspaper. I've been in their office before. I remember this place. Neo-Nazis return to State Park. Well, I started that years ago, but I haven't been back for quite a long time. Quote, members of the White Aryan Resistance War gathered at South Whidbey State Park campsite Saturday, but no incidents resulted. The group is a self-proclaimed white supremacy organization with ties to other neo-Nazi groups. Well, they couldn't have quoted people correctly, because that's not the case. You cannot call war a white supremacy organization, because we are a white separatist organization. That's our main situation. So either someone gave them the wrong stuff or something, but anyhow. And they spelled Aryan, A-R-I-A-N, which is, of course, incorrect. But war reserved the site to hold a vigil to commemorate the death of Robert Matthews, a former leader of the Order, a war splinter group. About 12 to 18 people of unknown affiliation visited the site, according to the Island County Sheriff's Office. Matthews was killed on December 8, 1984, in a long confrontation with federal and county authorities, and during which time they murdered him and burnt him alive. Well, I'm glad that 12 to 18 people did get out there and do that, because tomorrow is the day, December 8th, the day of the shootout. They had over 500 troops in there and FBI agents and so forth to finally kill Robert Matthews. Even the U.S. Navy had boats off the shore. They really like to do that when they get one of our people cornered. They like to really do a number, and money is no object. So whoever put it together, that's a good job. Can't help it that the editor, Jim Larson, didn't quite spell everything right. Also, the Order was not a war splinter group. The Order was the Order. and war was war. I don't care, but to keep the record straight. Well, we have a little bit about Woodrow Wilson here, who I thought was a son of a bitch for dragging us into World War I. Presidential candidate Ted Cruz, darling of the fundamental Christians. A Princeton graduate calls Princeton protesters who want Woodrow Wilson's name removed from the university pampered teenagers who are scared of an idea that challenges their worldview. Well, I think his involvement involving the United States in World War I far outpaces his feelings about race. The protesters led by the Black Justice League are challenging the omnipresence of Wilson on campus. Wilson served as president of Princeton before going on to be governor of New Jersey and finally president of the United States. Both the prestigious Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs and a residential complex, Wilson College, bear his name. The protesters demand that the university administration publicly acknowledge the racist legacy of Woodrow Wilson and take steps to rename the dormitory at Wilson School. Why wouldn't they take something far more important that involved the death of far more Americans and blacks, too, in the First World War? Why would they yap about that? That's more important. A good high percentage of white Americans were racist back then, with no doubt, very easily. So, if they're going to commit to demonstrating, they better demonstrate against the whole country of whites that existed at the time. No. Cruz agrees with the protesters that Wilson was an unmitigated racist. Oh, thank you, buddy. So he was. But he also was a warmonger. He resegregated the federal workforce after gains made in the Reconstruction era and removed black officials. That was okay. This was no accident. In his 1901 book, A History of the American People, he extolled the Ku Klux Klan for helping the white men of the South to rid themselves of the intolerable burden of governments sustained by the vote of ignorant Negroes. Well, I can't disagree with that. But here's the thing. Racism isn't the only aspect of Wilson's character and the career that should give Princeton pause about honoring him. Most notably, President Wilson led the United States into an unnecessary and disastrous war. Now we're getting someplace. World War I has been called probably history's worst catastrophe. Certainly it was the United States' greatest foreign policy mistake. It wasn't a mistake. It was all planned. These things are all planned, goddammit. British and then U.S. involvement turned a Central European conflict into a world war. The war and its consequences arguably led to the communist takeover of Russia. Well, that's true. National socialism in Germany, oh, that's bad. Well, part of it was. World War II and the Cold War. Wilson had long advocated a federal government with unstinted power, and as president, he quickly set about expanding federal power. He pushed for the creation of the Federal Reserve Bank to centralize control over money and credit, you see? He was not such a good guy. Whereas, like I said, most of the people in the country, white people, were racist already. But he got hundreds of thousands of white people killed in the First World War. Maybe a million white people. And then he helped set up the Federal Reserve System. So, yeah, let the blacks overrun the place and burn it down, as far as I'm concerned. He imposed the first income tax under the new 16th Amendment and then sharply raised the rates. He signed the first federal drug prohibition. We've all got a reason to be upset with him. When war began, centralization accelerated. Historian Robert Higgs writes that the government virtually nationalized the ocean shipping industry, It did nationalize the railroad, telephone, domestic telegraph, and the internal telegraphic cable industries. He was quite a predatory capitalist. Notably, World War I was the first American war to be fought primarily with drafted soldiers, who made up 72% of the army. That's because they weren't wanting to go. There was no interest in World War I at all, except for these propagandists. The propagandist, what's his name? I can't remember his name. Well, I don't have time to think it up. Belize, a Jew who spread by going around town to town and selling war bonds and promoting war with the people. He was an asshole. Wilson pressed for the Espionage and Sedition Acts, which virtually outlawed criticism of the government, much like Adams did back after the Revolutionary War. They raided a lot of people. More than 2,000 people were prosecuted under the acts, including Socialist Party President candidate Eugene Debs, the Socialist Congressman and publisher Victor Berger, and Robert Goldstein, the producer of a film about the American Revolution, The Spirit of 76, which was accused of bringing the British government into disrepute. And that was before the Red Scare, the notorious Palmer raids carried out by Attorney General A. Mitchell Palmer in 1919 and 20. Sociologist and historian James W. Lowen wrote, "Neither before nor since these campaigns has the United States come closer to being a police state." Wow. I don't know. I like that he demonstrated against him. The lesser-known feature of Wilson's civil liberties record was the administration's attempt to hunt down, entrap, and discharge gay sailors in Newport, Rhode Island. He was all over the board. Wilson disliked checks and balances, saying the government is a living organism and no living thing can have its organs offset against each other as checks and live. More than a century after Thomas Jefferson refused to deliver a State of the Union address, calling it a speech from the throne, Wilson resumed the practice of speaking to joint sessions of Congress. There's a reason that Ivan Elon rated Wilson last of all presidents on peace and prosperity and liberty in his book Recarving Rushmore. And that's reason enough for a great university to be embarrassed by its association with him. Well, I agree. Does that make me a communist, or what does it make me? Makes me a truthfulist, a realist. When I know history and I know the truth and I know this is true, then I'm going to go with it. And so embarrass the hell out of Princeton. That's just the home of some of the upper class spoiled kids anyhow, mostly. I think that's where that asshole George Bush Jr. went, Princeton. I know there's some notables that have gone there that were outspoken pro-capitalists and so forth. The problem with demonstrations like this, unfortunately, it includes the unwashed, some of the people you wouldn't want to have anything to do with in these things, and a bunch of race-mixing bastards, too. So that's the problem. The right people don't get the right message. And Cruz, you jerk, you probably know the truth of this whole story and you're denying it and turning it around. So get on out of here. You're not going to win anyhow. Well, here we go, down to Jerusalem again. An Israeli advert for a high-end housing development has been accused of carrying a racist message, shedding light on oft-hidden tensions between Jewish communities in the country. The video, which depicts a family of light-skinned Jews praying before receiving a knock on the door from their darker-skinned neighbors, was published online by the Bamunda Construction Company. wearing unusual hats and lacking in social graces, the neighbors end up toasting marshmallows on the family's Hanukkah candles, a Jewish religious holiday. Quote, do you also want to live in a house of your own? Do you want neighbors to your own liking? The voiceover adds, before the name of the building project and the company appear on the screen. While the advert doesn't specifically mention either group, it draws on long-standing tensions between lighter-skinned Ashkenazi of Central and Eastern Europe descent and who have traditionally been Israel's political and economic elite, and the Sephardic Jews from the Middle East and North Africa. The advert, since taken off the internet, received criticism on social media. The company could not be reached for comment. Henrietta Dahan-Kelev, a professor of political science specializing in racism in Israel and a co-founder of a campaign for equal rights for Middle Eastern Jews, said such overt racism was unusual, but it highlighted a wider problem. Racism in Israel has become more sophisticated, more hidden, more problematic, but it is severe as it is as severe as it is in the was in the past. Sephardic Jews, who make up the majority of Israel's Jewish population, have long complained of discrimination by Ashkenazis. How about that? The reason why Israel will gradually collapse within the next 20 years, probably. This Ashkenazi and Sephardic split, there's many other splits. Orthodox, Reform, Conservative Jews, they're all split too. So Israel's split into dozens and dozens of factions. And the only thing that keeps them together is being attacked once in a while by an Arab or a Palestinian, if they can coax them into that. Well, Nitwit from Israel is upset with the Swedes now. Israel condemned as scandalous on Sunday a suggestion by the Swedish foreign minister that its forces had unlawfully killed Palestinians involved in a surge of street violence and warned of a diplomatic rupture with Stockholm. Addressing Swedish lawmakers on Friday, Foreign Minister Margot Wallström denounced the almost daily Palestinian knife, gun, and car ramming attacks, but urged Israel to avoid overkill. The response must not be of the kind, and this is what I say in other situations where the response is such that it results in extrajudicial executions or is disproportionate in that number of people killed on the side. On that side exceeds the original number of deaths many times over, Wallström said. Well, that's the way the Israelis, they act. You kill one of them and they want to kill 500 a year as well. Sometimes that's not necessarily all evil, if it would stop the violence, but it doesn't stop the violence. Well, here's an interesting ball of wax. In a bizarre twist, a gun-toting hate group of anti-Islamists is refusing to partner with the Ku Klux Klan, in part because the white supremacist organization is too homophobic. The Bureau of American Islamic Relations, a loosely formed anti-Islamic organization, staged an armed rally outside the mosque in the Dallas suburb of Irving, Texas, on November 21st. In the wake of the Paris terror attacks. Among those who attended the rally were two representatives from the Texas Rebel Knights, a KKK chapter, who reportedly were scouting the location for an upcoming protest of their own. But David Wright, a spokesman for the Bureau of American Islamic Relations, said his group declined to participate in the planned KKK rally. It's not like we're racist, homophobic bigots, Wright told the Dallas Morning News. We just have a certain level of distrust for certain Islamic people. Wright added that his group is refusing to partner with the KKK members, who now plan to don their trademark white hoods and anti-Islamic rally outside Irving City Hall in May. because the Bureau of on American Islamic Relations includes blacks, Hispanics, and gays, according to the Morning News, which has caused a whole lot of problems. Meanwhile, the Imperial Wizard of the KKK chapter is likewise Imperial Wizard. That used to be the label of the top guy in the country living in a big castle down in Atlanta, Georgia. Now it's a KKK chapter with about three guys. He's the Imperial Wizard. Is likely disavowing the tactics of the Bureau on American Islamic Relations, whose members wielded long guns at the last month's rally for self-defense and not intimidation, they claim. We want a peaceful event, no weapons, the anonymous Imperial Wizard said. That's a switch. The rift between the two hate groups highlights Irving's and more broadly Texas' emergence as an epicenter in the national debate over Islamic acceptance and admitting Syrian refugees to the U.S. Following the armed rally, the Bureau of American Islamic Relations posted on its Face page the names and addresses of local Muslims who spoke earlier in the year against an anti-Islamic measure approved by the Irving City Council. The council, led by xenophobic Mayor Beth Van Dyen, voted to back a proposed state law banning Sharia courts. In September, Irving police arrested 14-year-old Ahmad Mohammed, saying they thought a homemade clock the Muslim teen had brought to school was a hoax bomb. Muhammad's family has since demanded $15 million in damages from the city and the school district. I hope they get it. I hope they get $15 million and then build a giant mosque right across the street from the Dallas City Hall. Oh, man. It's getting crazier all the time, boys and girls. I just don't know what to say. I laugh so much I get side aches. Remember, worse is better in 14.5. And I'll be back with you on Tuesday to give you some more funny stuff.
Tell the truth. Don't be bullshitting, people. Like I said, there's enough bullshit as it is. In fact, there's just enough. Did you know that? There's just enough bullshit in this country to hold things together. Bullshit is the glue that binds us as a nation. Where would we be without our safe, familiar American bullshit? Land of the free, home of the brave, the American dream. All men are equal, justice is blind, the press is free, business is honest, the good guys win, your vote counts, the police are on your side, God is watching you. Your standard of living will always improve. And everything is going to be just fine. The official national bullshit story. I call it the American okey-doke. Every one of those items is provably untrue at one level or another, but we believe them because they're pounded into our heads from the time we're children. That's what they do with that kind of thing. Pounded into the heads of kids because they know the children are much too young to be able to muster an intellectual defense against a sophisticated idea like that. And they know that up to a certain age, children believe everything their parents tell them. And as a result, they never learn to question things. Nobody questions things in this country anymore. Nobody questions anything. Everybody's too fat and happy. Everybody's got a cell phone that'll make pancakes and rub their balls in. Way too fucking prosperous for our own good. Way too fucking prosperous. Americans have been bought off and silenced by toys and gizmos.